One of the most challenging times in my career as a teacher was during Summer Institute with Teach for America in Houston. I had just graduated from college, and I was teaching middle schoolers and planning lessons, and at the same time, I was learning to teach and taking classes on education. Also, I was meeting in a small group and one-on-one with a core member who was our advisor. I was used to a college schedule, so I had very poor time management, and I was up very late copying things and up very early teaching young people. I was tired, and I was frustrated, and I was struggling. And at one point, I gave a list to my advisor of all the things that I did wrong as a teacher, and I told him, I'm just a lousy teacher. And he said, no, you're a learning teacher. Sometimes in my classroom, I will have team activities where students will have to work together in groups to accomplish a task. As the third grade students were leaving, one boy came up to me and said, Senor Ween, I'm sorry for my behavior today. I'm just not good at working with others. Thinking back to my advisor during my early teaching days, I asked the student, are you bad at working with others, or are you learning to work with others? He replied, I'm learning. How we think about ourselves and about our situations is very important because it precipitates our beliefs, our values, and ultimately our actions. This morning, my topic is thoughts about thinking. And I want to explore the following questions. Number one, what are we thinking? Number two, how can we change our thinking? And number three, can't we just go back to Egypt? Beginning with the first question, what are we thinking? I'd like to start by talking about my father. I asked my dad, Dr. Martin Ween, for some help with this sermon because he is a psychologist who works with people out of his home in Chesterfield County. He often uses something called cognitive therapy, which focuses on negative thoughts. He believes that our thoughts lead to feelings and ultimately actions. He tells me that he tries to get his clients to identify negative thoughts and to counteract them with more positive, affirming thoughts. A workbook that my dad gave me says that our thoughts, feelings, and attitudes control how we act. Therefore, we need to pay attention to our thoughts and recognize where there is risk of out thoughts. Then we use new thinking that reduces that risk. In other words, we recognize those thoughts which are out thoughts or outside of our belief system. This reminds me of something that Rabbi Shaul of Tarsus said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Messiah. Paul's advice is to take captive every thought in our brain and to bring it under the dominion of Messiah, something that Yeshua would agree with. In other words, we actively recognize these thoughts that are not of God and replace them with godly thoughts. Rabbi David thought that the new Israeli anti-missile system, the Iron Dome, was a good analogy for this. As the enemy thoughts come in, we recognize them, intercept them, and shield them from getting into our hearts. I think this is a very godly kind of cognitive therapy. Paul knows, as well as my father, that these negative thoughts, these false things that we might think, can lead to false beliefs. And these wrong and negative beliefs can lead to the wrong values and the wrong actions. But with God's help, we can fight this progression and change its course. What is the mechanism by which we are able to first identify ungodly thoughts? What is our spiritual iron dome? The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Shaul says in Romans 8:27, And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So in other words, the Ruach knows our thoughts and can identify, convict, and show us the thoughts that are not of God. The workbook that my dad gave me also says that we need to establish an objective, non-argumentative frame of reference to examine thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. So, what is our frame of reference, our objective standard, our fountain of thoughts that are true, godly, and reliable? The Word, yes. The Tanakh and the Brit HaKadoshah, the Bible. So that turns the cognitive therapy into biblical cognitive therapy. That is, with the Torah and the Ruach as guideposts. We see that biblical cognitive therapy is using the Torah of truth to combat negative thoughts, which we recognize by the Ruach HaKodesh. And this brings me to my next question. How can we change our thinking? My friend Drew likes to do an exercise with people where they write out negative thoughts, the lies that we sometimes believe, on one column, and the truths from God's word on the other side. This allows a person to really see the truth and apply it in their own soul. King David spoke to his own spirit, wondered why it was so downcast, and told himself to put his hope in God. So let's try out the same idea with a little Torah application. Here are some negative thoughts that we might have. Number one, worries. If we're worried about something and the Spirit identifies that worry within us, we don't have to get stuck on that thought. We can say within our spirit something from the Word, such as, "Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you." Sometimes we might have thoughts of shame. Shame can be a thought that there's something wrong with me, or that I'm a failure, or that I'll never be able to change. If you find yourself thinking this way, I want to encourage you to fight those thoughts and remind your spirit of this: He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Messiah Yeshua. What if it's an unkosher thought that is clearly not from God? A refocusing thought might be a simple, "I must be about my Father's business." Perhaps we might be struggling with unforgiveness toward our brother or sister. We can be reminded in our thoughts about Yeshua's words, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This thought can remind us how much God has forgiven us and empower us to be thinking of that in order to have mercy on our brother or sister. What if I think an accusing thought or condemnation? What if we think that we are guilty from past sins for which we have repented? We could remind our spirit of this: if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How about if we are thinking thoughts of fear or loneliness? We can fight that by reminding our inner spirit of the scripture: "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." The point is, no matter what these thoughts are, we must commit to fight them with the thoughts of God from the Torah. The mind is the battlefield, and the sword is the truth of the word, and the enemies are the lies that we think and then believe and then act upon. Of those things on the left column, raise your hand if you have ever thought one of those. So now we know we have a tool. We have something to use. We can fight in the Word to combat those things. This brings me to my last question. Why can't we just go back to Egypt? In this week's Parsha, we find that the old adage is true. You can take the Israelites out of Egypt, but it's a lot harder to take the Egypt out of the Israelites. with over 400 years of thinking like a slave, when freedom hits, do we suddenly start thinking like a free people? When we receive the freedom of slavery from sin in Yeshua the Messiah, is it so easy to suddenly start thinking in freedom? No, it's easier to bring the old mentality with us. The Israelites saw with their own eyes the 10 plagues, the plundering of the Egyptians, the pillar by day and fire by night. They watched as Hashem distinguished between the Egyptians and the Israelites. They watched as the angel of death passed over the houses with the blood of the lamb on the door and struck down the firstborn in all of Egypt. And they watched as Pharaoh's hardened heart finally let them go to sacrifice to God in the desert with all of their loved ones and possessions. And when they got to the desert, of course, they responded with gratitude and freedom to their Savior Moses, right? Let's read their reaction in Exodus 14, verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die here in this desert." Wouldn't it have been better to be back in Egypt? Not better, easier. It's easier to remain a victim, to remain enslaved to our former thoughts and thought patterns. It's harder to fight, to change our thinking. At least, it's harder for me. You know, I was talking once to Jamie Cowan, our former rabbi, and he said to me that even though people thought of him as this spiritual giant, that he really wasn't. He said that sometimes in the preparing of a message, he would be deeply convicted. To be honest, I feel the same way right now. It is by the grace of God that I can talk to you about this topic, because I'm certainly not above it. For the first 20 years of my life, I developed my own thought patterns, which turned into beliefs and actions, and the result was slavery to sin. I was really trapped in guilt, in shame, and thoughts that were just lies. The truth is, this is not a problem unique to me. It's a problem that every soul has in this life. And this is not a problem we can solve on our own. We need a Moses-like Savior to bring us out of that slavery and then to write Torah on our hearts. And that Savior is Yeshua. If you have not surrendered your life to the eternal Moses, the Messiah Yeshua, may now be the moment to begin the battle for your godly mind, your upright values, and your righteous actions. And I just want to say that I feel that there's someone here, maybe, that has not accepted Yeshua and feels like they want to at this moment. And I want to encourage you to do that, that he is the Savior like Moses, and he can bring you out of that slavery if you want. And if you have surrendered your life to Yeshua, as I have, then I want to encourage you to continue the fight, because it's not over. This is not an overnight fix. You know, today is actually a holiday. Does anyone know what holiday it is? It's Tu B'Shvat. And I remember when I was younger, going to synagogue, we used to, on Tu B'Shvat, we used to plant a tree in Israel. And I never saw it, you know, but we would find out, we'd get a little certificate that said that there's a tree in my name and it's over there, you know. And I never understood the significance of it until I visited Israel. And if you ever visited, there's something called the Green Line. And it's green because of all the trees that they've planted there. And really, they've turned the desert into a blooming forest, you know, of trees. And it's very amazing. And I think that our thoughts are like that. You know, if we start even just a little bit to start this fight and combat those thoughts with the word, then over time, we can see that blooming forest later in our years. We don't spend years in bondage, receive Yeshua as Messiah, and suddenly think godly thoughts all the time. Just as the Israelites took a while to change their mindset from slavery to freedom, for us, it is also a process. It's a battle, and it's a conscious decision. But slowly, by the hand of the Most High, the mindset of Egypt starts to wear away, and our thoughts are renewed with the mind of Messiah. No matter where you are in your thought life, it is never too late to change your mind. I think that Shaul says it best in Romans 2:2. Let's read it together. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's say just that part together again. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can we commit to being transformed over time, to recognizing thoughts that don't belong, to renewing our minds with the Torah? Once during the most recent UMJC conference, a young leader from another congregation took me out to lunch. And the first thing he asked me was, "How is your mind space?" I really thought that that was one of the most kindest, most intimate questions anyone could have asked me. He wasn't asking to be intrusive or judgmental. He wanted to know what I was struggling with inside my own head, to hear me say it out loud and process it in a godly way, in light of the truth of God's word. I had really been waiting for someone to ask me that for a long time, and I was very thankful to be able to process my thoughts with my brother. May you and I find that kind of encouragement to fight the godly fight inside our minds, to bring our thoughts under the dominion of Messiah, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to him, the Most High God, who knows all of our thoughts even before we think them. May we be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Today I have discussed thinking about thoughts, and I attempted to answer three questions. Number one, what are we thinking? Number two, how do we change our thinking? Actively, with the Ruach and the Torah, by the renewing of our minds. And number three, why can't we just go back to Egypt? Because though it might be easier to stay there, it's not better. It is far better to be in the promised land, a place of freedom from the slavery of sin. Let's pray. Abba, I thank you that you are a God of grace, and you are a God who is actively involved in our lives, and you love us. And I pray that you help us be renewed in our thoughts, O God, that we would not feel condemned or proud or any of those thoughts that are not from you, but that we would recognize and fight the good fight, O God, and be men of and women of God that are warriors with the sword of the truth of your word, O God, that we would not back down, but that we would be encouraged, and that we would be able to encourage each other, O God, as our brothers and sisters.